just a couple program notes. We only got two more Sundays and we'll be done with this series of lessons. So what I'll do is put all these slides that I have, because especially on Sunday mornings, we don't get everything we talk about in. So I'll put it to a flash drive, and anybody wants it to follow up with the website and listen to the lesson, I'll put all the PowerPoints to a flash drive and give it to you. That way you can continue on the study of that.
And Lord willing, in our travels, there may be opportunity for me to share that with other brethren on our sojourn.
That, absolutely. And we could probably put the link to the church site, because there's probably too many lessons for the audio to put on one flash drive. I don't know if Tom can do that, put it all together, but I'll talk to Tom. Maybe we can get them all combined with the audio and the PowerPoints, so that that will be a resource that it can be passed out. Because for me, it's been an awesome study for me to do on the instructor side of it. Then y'all get a break from me for about a month, somewhere around there. We'll have other people come in, and then we'll do another study. I haven't decided yet what we'll do, a book or what study we'll do, but we'll do something similar to this to carry us through maybe 12 lessons for it, and then we'll do it another break. Before I get started, I wanted y'all to think about something. You know, God could have brought Jesus in any way he wanted to, because he's God. But he chose a mother to do this. That's how much God appreciates mothers, because you can see Mary's influence on Jesus throughout scriptures, more so than you can see Joseph. So y'all need to realize, as mothers, how blessed you are. And how thankful us as men, because we're going to talk about that here in a little bit too, that we appreciate the insight and the view of caring and loving. You think about Jesus himself, the whole concept is mercy and grace and love, and that describes a mother from the time a child's born until a child leaves this earth. How much love goes into it, because kids may be growing up, the mother never stops loving this child to the very end. So you need to realize how much of a blessing y'all are in God's eyes as being a mother, how important that job is. And how much important y'all are is just the ladies of the church. We'll talk about that a little bit today. But I just want to tell you, happy Mother's Day, and just put it maybe in a little bit better perspective. That God thought it was so important that Christ Jesus had to come through a mother. That says a lot. So, all right. We're on lesson 19. We talked about there's not much goes on Wednesday. There's a lot of gap on what happened throughout the day. But there's things that did occur. Things are getting ready for Thursday. And if you can't see read it well enough there, Jesus spent most of his time in Bethany and doesn't go to Jerusalem. Jesus tells his disciples, and we'll talk about that, that the Passover is 2 days away and the Son of Man will be crucified. You know, how many times does Jesus have to tell his disciples that he's going to be crucified? Multiple times. It's like he's doing a countdown. Look, we're only a couple days away. We'll talk about that a little bit more here in a minute. The chief priests and the elders are looking for ways to kill Jesus. They're plotting. They're getting, all right, we've got to find a way to stop him. There's got to be a way, because we're no longer going to be around here the way it looks like, because everybody's pulling towards Jesus. So they're counting their ways. And then at the evening meal, that's about the really time that we really hear anything that happens about Jesus, other than he's talking to his disciples. the Simon the leper, Jesus is anointed a second time. This time, all the disciples object to wasting of the perfume or the oil because it's expensive. Didn't that just happen? So we're going to talk about that too. He was anointed. Remember the lady who washed his feet, anointed his feet, and wiped it off with her tears. That just happened prior to this. But this is very significant time. Judas goes to the chief priest to discuss a way to betray Jesus. So everything's lining up. We talked about it a little last couple Sundays. But time's getting closer and closer. Can you imagine what Jesus is feeling? He's like he wants to get the message across, and you'll see it come across him here in Sunday lesson, Sunday school, the sermon later on today. Him trying to get across, talking to his disciples, and they still struggling to get it. But they're no different than we are. Because if you really look at it, if we truly understood what's this all about, wouldn't our whole life be literally changed in every aspect of what we do? And I think as a world, I know they don't get it, and as denominations and church, I know they don't necessarily get it. And I think the Church of Christ, we'll talk about that in some. I grew up in the church, so I can speak from authority from growing up in the Church of Christ, not authority in Christ's behalf, but authority of the culture sometimes that can be that I grew up in and seen it. So we'll talk about that. Let's talk about it. Let's get some of your input on to in the Matthew chapter 26. You can read 1-5, but he tells them this. You know that the day after tomorrow is the Passover. Remind them. You know what day it is? What's coming up? On the day the Son of Man will be given to his eternity to be killed on a cross. That's flat out blunt. I mean, he's pretty much telling you what's going to happen. And the disciples, this is like 2 days from now. This is not saying I'm going to die 5-10 years down the road. Hey, this is how I'm going to die. He's saying in 2 more days, I'm going to die. And so that disciples, I think, were not accepting it or not having in their mind really what's going to happen. Or, oh, yeah, you say that. You know, you just kind of say that, Jesus. You know, it's not going to happen. You know, when people come up to us, hey, you know, I'm going to have it. This is going on. I'm going to have to do this. This is going to happen. No, that ain't going to happen. We kind of, as in human mind, we kind of try to push it off or not accept it.
I can't give an example, but I'm sure that a lot of us say, oh, that's not going to happen to me. It's kind of like in disbelief that you hear about people being robbed or an incident happened or that. Well, that's not going to happen. It's kind of like that kind of disbelief where Christ is saying, oh yeah, you're going to be robbed. And when someone tells you, you're going to need that seatbelt or you're going to need to have that shot for prevention. And it's, no, not me. No. Somehow I see it in that kind of regard. Oh, that's not going to happen. Not to you. It's not going to happen.
And then I'm saying the term.
Go ahead, I get you. Go ahead, wait a minute. Go ahead. Go ahead. He said, go ahead.
So, may have been like Peter. We know Peter was determined not to let it happen. He cut the man's ear off. He's ready to start a war.
I love Peter.
We're not going to let that happen.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And that might have been a very mentality. So, no, we're not going to let that happen. In the back of their mind.
Jesus told him to have the things men know of God.
I just was going to say, it's that kind of mentality the other day. we know that we all want to die one day. But it's not like, we're not expecting it to be like today, tomorrow, day after tomorrow. We think that, oh yeah, we know we're going to die. Yeah, I'm living my life so I can go to heaven. But if somebody come on and say, you going tomorrow? You're like, huh? You know, it's, we don't expect it to be that soon. And that's, I think, what the disciples didn't expect it to be that soon.
Yeah, and I think your concept of we're not going to let it happen, or when that time comes, we'll do what we can to stop it. You know, this past week was Hurricane Preparedness Week. You know, and my job is to tell people to be ready. And I put out a little hurricane preparedness thing to all the Prince George employees. Be ready so you ain't got to get ready. And I got a couple of responses back. Wow, I never thought about it that way. But people has that mentality. Always never, like you said, never going to happen. I'll talk about hurricane. I'll talk about tornado. Oh, this ain't going to happen here. It ain't happening here in 20 years. It's not going to happen here. And the reality is not if, but when. Because I can go back in my history and show you where the Walmart in Colonial Heights was hit with a tornado, and Petersburg was, the downtown Petersburg was destroyed. And I can show you just a few years ago where Waverly, a tornado ran through the trailer park. Because you haven't been impacted immediately, a lot of times our mentality is that we just, it's not going to happen to us. Jesus, you're not going to die. Like the mentality you have, we'll do something when the time comes to stop it.
The young people think they're never going to die. They have this mentality like, not going to happen to me. It's going to live forever. As you age, you become more aware of your mortality. But Christ, from the beginning, was aware of his human mortality. He knew a set time that he would have to leave this earth. And so we have more of, I don't know, I think more of a positive look at our life. It's not that we're not aware of it. Like Wesley said, it's just, it's not going to happen to me. But I think when you get older, you are more aware of, I don't know if I'm still going to be here tomorrow. Or is it just the me-ism? I don't know. But the older I got, the more aware I was of my mortality. I don't know if I'm going to be here till I'm 80, or I don't know if I'm going to be here till I'm 75. I don't know that. But I'm aware of it, that my time here on earth is getting shorter and shorter and shorter.
Yeah. That general group that you talk about, and even within the church, the, a lot of mentality is, I got time.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I'm still young. I still got time. They don't understand the concept of the Lord could come at any time, or in the field that I am. This is a bad time of the year. We face it in Prince George County every year. After graduation, we have lost one student from the high school from a car accident for the last probably 5 or 10 years. It's been happening. I can't remember a year that's gone by so far, over the last 5 or 6, that we haven't lost a teenager to a car accident right after graduation. That month, the time frame. And dealing with that, because we were talking about that today, this week at the county, talking to the chaplain. He said, "You know, it's that time of the year." I said, "Yeah, I knew what he was talking about before he said it." "Yeah, I know." He says, "I hope we don't lose one this year." And that's pretty sad that you got to hope that that doesn't occur. But the mentality of people, especially the kids growing up today, they play video games that they can die and hit a button and relive again. Mm-hmm. I think that's the way they think in their mentality, is that I'm not in the principles if something happens to me, the doctors will fix me. I'm young, I'm healed and stuff like that. But the programmed, I think, in today's video games and stuff like that, they got ultimate amount of lives. They're like a cat. They got 9 lives. As long as I don't get down to the 8th life or the 7th life, I'm good. And they're indestructible. But the reality of this world is cruel. And that our time is limited here on earth. I think with Jesus' perspective, knowing you're getting ready to leave, you got to understand, and we talked about this a little bit last week, you got to understand, Jesus has been walking and talking and developing a personal, deep relationship with these disciples. And he wants to make sure that they fully understand. You'll hear in probably my lesson in a little while, desperate he is, because time is running out. Then he'll be going home. He'll be stopping in a little bit here and there just for a little while, just to check on them, get them started. But then he's going to be going home and preparing them a place, and being away from them won't be that physical part of it. And you know, Christ felt pain, felt all that. So those emotions of being able to realize that I'm going to have to leave them. He was getting hyped to that time frame. You know, it's like, they're not listening to me.
Jesus was very concerned about his disciples. And it shows in the prayer he had to God when he asked God to keep those that were given to him to watch over them. He was concerned for them because once I'm leaving here, I can no longer guide them, you know. If they got finally what I wanted them to get, you know. So it's the same with us. When we're facing our mortality, we worry about our children. Have I done everything I can for them to stay, at least for me, to stay in the Lord? Have I done all I can to keep them safe? Or to have I taught them to so they are self-reliant? And I'm pretty sure those things all went through Christ's mind too, especially with faith. And I only got 2 more days.
Yeah. And God is such an awesome God. He puts Jesus on earth to feel every aspect of our life.
Exactly.
Who better to be a mediator for us now? And I'm picture in my head, just like he's having seen with the disciples, the Christ is up there getting frustrated with us at times, saying, I showed you time and time again, because he's attached to us. And he's going to God and saying, wait a minute, well, just hold up before you get too frustrated with them. I've had 12 of them, just like the ones that are down here now. 12 of them that I'm trying. Now, they may not accept me, but I'm going to do everything within my power. Didn't you have your hands up for a second?
For a second. I was just thinking how absurd it would have been if Peter had been successful and started that war and placed Jesus on a throne in Jerusalem, you know, literal physical Jerusalem. They'd have done what they thought. How ridiculous would that have been? How much less would it have been? Not only would they have done something they thought they were supposed to, but they would have actually proven that Jesus wasn't who he said he was, and that God failed. There's no, hey, Jesus said, I'm going to die, I'm going to be crucified, and yet it didn't happen. They were able to thwart his plan.
Right.
So they would have gotten everything they thought they wanted, everything they thought they were supposed to have, but at the same time would have proven God to be a liar.
Right.
It could not happen any other way.
That's why, through your studies, that's why you see God's timing is perfect. Because even the Pharisees and the priests says, we got to do it at the right time, because if we do it at the wrong time, they'll all turn against us. And that's why, with Jesus, that moment you're very well talking about, when Peter picked up that ear and put it back on there. He could have got, I'm getting ready to be crucified. Let his ear be off.
Even down to the time of Christ's birth, They knew. They knew it was the time. It had been predicted. Daniel already predicted it.
Mm-hmm. Yes. He's been predicting thousands of years constantly.
And his teaching had carried on because you had the wise men came. Yeah, Jesus, because they knew, because wisdom had passed from generation to generation in their school. And they knew when to come and the signs was coming. If it happened, if those exact same events happened today, it'd be powerless. Because it had to happen then. That's when God said it was going to happen. It happened at just the right time.
Right.
Christ died for sinful man.
Mm-hmm.
He wasn't too early, he wasn't too late. He was at just the right time.
And that's, I mean, think about it. If we decide when the right time was, it's going to be all the wrong time. Peter's example. If we put that perspective in our daily lives, where we're at in the struggle in our lives, to complain and stay and praise and be raised, we get to complaining about our situation, where we're at in life. God's going to get us out of that situation at the right time. We do it too early, it could have a totally different consequence, a totally different reaction. We do it too late and don't listen to him, then there's more consequence. But if we just trust and have faith in the Lord, this time is going to be perfect. So we need to understand that. And that's what the disciples didn't get, and that's what we didn't get. That's why I think Christ being is a perfect mediator. I think God putting Christ in as our mediator, living that life, dealing with the 12 during this whole time with Peter, not only cutting the ear off, but walking on water and sinking in the water and not getting it. Dealing with that on a in-his-face type of relationship with the 12 has developed a relationship that like no other now, because he's able to be that mediator and he's able to say, hold up, Father. Let me see if I can get him to understand a little bit more, because, you know, they're hard-headed. It's just like the 12 disciples. And now look how the 12 disciples turned out. One of them didn't turn out so well. We're going to talk about that here in a second. But look, the life after that. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. You read Timothy and all the things that Peter done and everything they done after that. He said sometimes that timing and receiving the Spirit of the Holy Ghost and all that coming together turned us out to what we need to be. But I think Christ being that mediator and the Father saying, hey, I'm going to put my son on there. There ain't no better person to intercede for us. And if you truly think about it, you can't say, well, Christ didn't know. He's never been down here. He's never gone through what I've went through. Absolutely, we cannot say that. We've never gone through what he's gone through. None of us. So we took that right away. Took that excuse right out of us.
Christ was born by a human mother. That made the human part in Christ. He was spirit through the Holy Spirit and God. That's what made him the Son of God. I guess I explained that right. So being born of a human mother, he was born with all the attributes that every human being has. Fear, anxiety, pain, sorrow. He experienced all of that just like we do. So I can't imagine that the reason for this, or I'm sure that the reason for this is so Christ would be the perfect mediator for us, because he understands every human part of us. He understands how humans function and deal with all the emotions that we have. That all made him the perfect mediator for us. Because he can tell God, I know how they feel. I know what they experience, how it affects their life. He knows all of this.
God coming straight down from heaven and dying on the cross would not have the impact that it has the way Jesus gave his life.
Exactly.
He gave his life. because like I said, it takes all that excuses away that he didn't feel the pain that we felt, or he didn't, he was God, and he didn't, it would not be the same than God in physical form like that, suffering every bit of pain that we would have suffered. If we would have died the same way, we would have been the painful. There's nothing that would have taken away.
On the flip side of all that, you look at the disciples' point of view, they've never been the other side of this world, and they didn't understand because Jesus had already told them they would live forever. So something was going to happen, and they really didn't, I don't think, spend that much time thinking about it. It's just that it's going to be all right. So they didn't grasp what he was really going to have to go through. They just...
What she just said? Remember that when we talk about our sermon. You're exactly right. They've never experienced it. They never know what the other side is like. You're 100% right. And they're going to ask that question here in just a little while. Yeah.
I was thinking that also. And even being born of a mother, and I'm glad you brought that up too, because this is that he had to grow up in a family with sisters and brothers. And he knew what it was like to have pains, little pains, growing pains, and that sort of thing as well. And so those disciples were his brothers, his little brothers to take care of. And some days they'd get it, some days they wouldn't. Sometimes the Holy Spirit kept them from understanding completely. But still, he had to know what they went through because of that human part of him. But then they also saw that he rose a couple of people from the dead. And so maybe that was a thought in their head. Well, you know, it's not a big deal. I don't know. But the fact is that he knew everything we go through today. We have our good days and our bad days. And pains, oh my goodness, what we go through today is a drop in the bucket from what he was about to do, even before he did it. And I think we talked about that too. Just the emotional agony of take this cup from me? You know, but I'm jumping, sorry. So, but anyway, the Lord is just so amazing.
Well, she touched on it that some of those things can try to go back to that point and understand the physical aspects of what he had to go through. And go through our head, but we can never appreciate the courage, the bravery, the pain. And it was just not superficial. It wasn't just, oh, a broken nail. This is serious pain on a lot of physical levels. But even greater than that, again, we've had different pains that we've experienced, broken bones, crushed hand, or whatever, kidney stone. You know, we have physical pains, but nothing to compare to what our good Lord went through that flogging, the beating, and all that. But greater than that is his emotional depths of love, compassion, understanding, grief, all that going through him for us, and understanding his role in being that gate between lost forever, opportunity.
Right.
When he said, like a mother hen wanting to gather Israel and Jerusalem under his wings. So see, that's a mother thing.
It is. To protect. So let's talk about what happened to conspire to kill Jesus. You know, Judas was pretty much told that he was going to make that happen. Did he have a choice?
Yes. He had a choice.
He had a choice. So when we bring the story of Christ, when we tell that love story, people have a choice. You know, we talk about that. Now we predicted that he would be sold for 30 pieces of silver. Wasn't that predicted in the Old Testament? But if Judas decided, no, that I'm not going to do that. He spent all that time with Christ, and he gets to that point and he says, no, I'm not going to do it. Would not somebody else stepped up and done that?
Yeah.
Could they have stopped that part of it? Yeah. But Judas could have decided not to do it. Neither one. But when they're at the Lord's Supper, Christ knew his mind, his intent. There was no change in it from that point, because he knew that he was going to go through that. But the aspect of how did Christ treat him? He told him, you're going to betray me. The one that dips his hand with mine is going to be the one that betrays me. He told him, but I don't think we see anything in scriptures where he would treat it any different because he's going to be the one. He gave the same message. He gave the same heart. All the way up till it occurred. And even after he betrayed Jesus, couldn't he have been forgiven?
Yes.
Even if he did that, betraying Jesus, he went and hung himself. But the thought would be, that was a sin that could have been washed away. He could have changed. But he ended it right there. And so, but Jesus, how he treated everybody. The one that's going to betray him. Think about Peter. As much as he loved Peter, he told Peter, he says, you're going to deny me 3 times. And then when that occurred, when he was being judged, he looked and glanced over at Peter. You know he had to still be heartbroken. He knew it was coming. He had to be heartbroken, but he knew that was still good coming. We talked about the emotion. Go ahead.
Well, I was just going to say, kind of like, you know, look at Judas and look at Peter's reaction to their sins. Judas went and hung himself. Peter was so distraught over having denied the Lord that he actually cried about it. He was devastated, and he repented of it with all his heart, where there's nowhere in the Bible where it says that Judas really repented from the heart. He just went and hung himself. And that's the difference. Like you said, Judas could have been saved if he'd repented, you know, and did it sincerely. And it's the same for us today. We have choices, but even when we sin, we have this, if we repent in our heart, that we can be saved, and it doesn't matter what you have done. And as I've said to my kids many a times, don't be surprised when you get to heaven and you find murderers up in there. If they repented from the heart, yes, they had served their punishment, but because they became true followers of Christ, they're going to be saved.
No.
And the same would have been true for Judas if he repented.
Peter, that hit him hard.
Yeah.
You can read that in scriptures because he didn't let that go. So you read through when Christ was risen, the angels told them, go tell Peter that I have risen. Or when Jesus is getting ready to descend and go away, he says, do you love me? Take care of my sheep. He wanted to have that last connection with Peter. He said, Lord, you know I love you. But he was telling him, I love you too. So Peter had a difficult time with it. He carried it for a little while. But Jesus made a point to look out for him that he's trying to do his will, to make sure it's okay.
That's a part of loving, I guess, some of us miss. And that if you love someone, you will be about their business.
Yes.
He became super powerful after that.
If you love me, you'll be working for me. You'll be doing my business. And we'll talk about Jesus' perspective in the Sunday lesson about whose business he was doing.
Yeah, I'm going to say that. Not to get misconstrued, but if you love someone, it's not really working. Mm-hmm. It's serving. It's looking out for their interests. for their well-being. And we see it in a lot, display in a lot of ways. But again, when you truly love someone, it's never a work. It may be tiring, that's true. You may be exhausted. You may be even emotionally drained. But when you truly love someone, you're willing to do it. And again.
You're right. I want to cover two perspectives before time runs out. We got 10 minutes, so I want to hit on two things. Let's go back to Wednesday. Not a lot going on there, and you hit on it earlier, what he's getting ready to go through. Not a lot talked about in between that conversation with his disciples and later on that evening. And this is a bearism, like I said before, but I truly believe that Jesus was getting his body rested and ready because he didn't want to take away from that. That he knew most people, when they go through what Christ went through prior to the cross, don't even make it to the cross. They die well before they ever get hung on the cross when they go through that type of beating, that type of lashing, and that type of stuff that goes on. So Jesus knew my body's got to, that's the physical part of me, has got to hold up to feel every bit of pain. So he was probably, to be honest with you, because good Lord knows how the body works. He needed to be rested, hydrated, so that everything that body could endure. Just like somebody does, runs in a race. They don't run the marathon, the practice marathon before the marathon. They rest up. They take a lot of fruits. They take a lot of fluids. They get their bodies everything being built up so they can handle that long enduring race. And I think that's what Christ was making sure that. And I can't imagine that. I can imagine getting ready for a marathon so I have my victory at the end and across the run, the victory line and stuff like that. And I know I'm going to be hurting, but not like that. And that he was willing to get his body to make sure it lasted physically as long as possible. So there would be not an ounce of pain that he would not miss. It's just that thought of Wednesday. We kind of, not much mentioned about Wednesday, but there was a lot going on Wednesday preparing Christ for that to occur. Getting his body to be able to endure that it would not give out carrying it. Through the beating, carrying the cross, being put on the cross, all that things that would take even a healthy man out pretty quick. So it's just, that's just an incredible. You were getting ready to say something, Leslie, weren't you?
Yeah, I was going to make a comment about what was spoken of earlier about whether or not Judas could have, because of the choice that he made to go out and hang himself, could he have been forgiven? On this side of the cross, we can see a lot more and put things into a better perspective than what they saw and what they experienced at that time. And we know from reading scriptures that some things had to happen in order for other things to happen. As we've already spoken of, it was predicted before it came about. And as you just said, if Peter hadn't denied him, somebody else would have. You know, if Judas hadn't betrayed him, somebody else would have. Everything was set to happen the way God wanted it to happen. Some things put in place for God's purpose. And that's some of the stuff that we don't understand even today. You know, why this happened. We look at things that happen to people lose their life, a great number of people lose their life at one particular time, and we think, wow, that's, how did that happen? How did that happen? God knows. We don't know. It's a portion of scripture that tells us that supposed to know everything that God knows, and it's for his purpose. And what he uses or who he uses for that purpose is for him. We do know that the disciples asked Christ, Well, why was the man blind from birth? And Christ told him it was so that the power of God should be revealed. So we have to take things, and we can't add to or take away from. We have to accept what is written and what is there for us to understand. Well, we can't figure out everything on how it should have been or what it would have been. We can't change anything. But the Lord allows us to understand and see things on this side of the cross. So it helps us walk in our faith to rely on God. Because when it comes down to it, that's what it's all about. We rely on Christ. We rely on God to carry us through each and every day. And we got the history to believe in it and to help us strengthen our faith. But we will never be able to understand everything that went on.
Right. And I think Judas, God knew Judas's heart and mind.
Yeah.
Just like he knew ours. When that time came, he knew this is the path because of Judas's heart and mind. Mm-hmm. But if he had a change in heart and mind, he could have changed that thing. But God already knew that his outcome because it was predicted in the Old Testament that what the money would be used for, and what would it be called. God knew his heart at that point, knew that. Well, you think Judas didn't develop that heart overnight. Things he was doing in the background that we don't know about, that you're exactly talking about, you got to understand, he didn't develop that heart overnight, that mentality overnight. And we don't develop our heart and mentality overnight. It's something that we have to work on and keep on working on daily to make sure that we're in the right heart and the right mind. That's why we need to study our scriptures. How often?
Every day.
Well, if we didn't need it daily, why couldn't we just do it once a week? Mm-hmm. Why couldn't we just come together on Sunday knowing that the time we open up our Bible is when we walk through the door? We're told that's not going to work. So, because we're constantly working on that. So Judas, by this point, my mind, and I don't, like you're saying, I don't know all the details and scriptures. His heart and mind and soul was already set. You know, you get to the point where you're not changing my mind. We have that attitude sometimes. No, you're not changing my mind.
That could have been his way to up. Back to them and told them, y'all take the money back. And they said, no, we don't want it. That's your money now, you know. So that could have been his way of repenting. What happened to his soul after that? We don't know.
Exactly.
You know, but
we don't know the conversation that he had to. That's why we're not judged.
Yeah.
So that's something that I want to go over. Somebody will turn to Matthew chapter 6 and read 1 through 13 for me. Because I want to bring out a point.
Six
through 13.
Okay, all right. While Jesus was in Bethany, in the home of a man known as Simon the leper, a woman came to him with an alabaster jar of very expensive perfume, which he poured on his head as he was reclining at the table. When the disciples saw this, they were indignant. Why this waste, they asked. This perfume could have been sold at a high price and the money given to the poor. Aware of this, Jesus said to them, why are you bothering this woman? She has done a beautiful thing to me. The poor you will always have with you. But you will not always have me. When she poured this perfume on my body, she did it to prepare me for burial. I tell you the truth. Whenever this gospel is preached throughout the world, what she has done will also be told in memory of her.
And when she poured this perfume on my body, she did it to prepare me for burial. You know, Jesus has been talking about his death and coming up, not only to disciples, but to his speaking. You know, the insight that women have on things to occur. She may have not known, hey, when or how, but she's heard Jesus speak, and she probably caught on saying, hey, I'm going to have to be buried for die on the cross for her. And her, I can't, we don't get full details, but she did that for that purpose. Mm-hmm. In my mind, she's saying, if he's got to die for me, he's at least going to be anointed. Is he going to have to give up that sacrifice? He's least going to have to be anointed. I don't care what it costs out of me. If he's making that sacrifice to me, for me, I need to do something. And I think that's, again, when I want to speak to my ladies here, they have that perspective. Or men are just give me the headlines. You know, Rush used to say, women want the details. They pick up on the details, where men catch the headlines of just the pieces of it. And it's wonderful, once again, through scriptures, how God has used the woman to make sure Christ is taken care of. They're worried about, hey, you know how much that cost? There's a whole lesson in just in that. You know, we could have gave to the poor. And I wonder if Judas was one of the ones, we can add some more money to our bank account so I can use it for other stuff. So, you know, you don't know what they were thinking, but some of them were honestly thinking they could help the poor. And they were still getting closer to that time. We're talking about on Wednesday. She's anointing him a few days prior, and the disciples still worried about money. Not the Savior getting ready to be crucified. They're worried about the day-to-day operations. They were worried about what they're going to do tomorrow, how they're going to handle about the food for tomorrow. They're going to be worried about how everything is taking care of the widows and the poor. They were worried about the day-to-day operations of life and missing what's getting ready to happen. But it's funny how the ladies, now you look around in the church, every church is this way, it's not like ours. Every church, the ladies in the background have done so much work. Sometimes they're not appreciated for everything they do and the understanding they have. The ladies have their class on a regular basis doing studies, getting together, and then coming together. They could teach us lessons. And that's what this was, a lesson from the ladies of the God, teaching the men of God a lesson. On this Mother's Day, I think it kind of lined up with what we were talking about. This lesson lined up, and this verse came into play at the right time, because the Lord does that. It's not nothing I have to do with it. Me and Wesley talk about that all the time. It's for us to understand and appreciate what we have right in front of us.
That woman that anointed Jesus had been listening closely to all his lessons that he gave. That's where her understanding came from. She listened and learned, and therefore she had that mentality, I've got to anoint my Lord. And I think that is where her mentality was, because she understood, she knew, and yet all these men.
Give me the headline. Not for these. I just want the piece of it. What do I need to do? What do I need to do to get back to get the fix?
But it shows the transformation. If you listen close to the Lord's words and what he's teaching you, it will transform you. Look at the disciples versus the apostles. The disciples were a scared bunch when Christ was crucified. They scattered. But once they were anointed with the Holy Spirit, those were some of the most courageous men that I've ever read about. it's almost like you're looking at two totally different personalities. And that's what the Lord does for you. Even us that are Christians, look at our lives before we became Christians and how our life has changed since we become Christians. It's a transforming spiritual encounter that you have with the Lord.
Exactly. All right. Leslie, I didn't start off with a prayer, so can you end us with a prayer? I'm already over as usual. So.